time for the Tuesday hack today here on RSN Central. Courtney Walsh is on another holiday. Unbelievable the leeway he gets with his employer, the Australian newspaper, but he is the chief tennis writer and football writer, so he's been pretty busy of late. But Johnny Ralph never takes a holiday, thanks to the Ascot Vale Hotel and the Herald Sun. G'day, Ralphie.
Hello, sir. The coldest pots in town. They're frigid at the moment. Yep. They're magnificent. I saw Tony Cochran said today, he talked about a team in Tasmania. I don't care whether it's a franchise in Timbuktu, Tailandbend or Tasmania. Now, Courtney Walsh called me, said, what? There's going to be a team in Timbuktu. I'll put my hand up for the junket. Yes. I'm there for the holiday.
Correct.
Never seen a bloke who travels
What's
more.
Your thoughts on Tony Cochran? Is he running out of friends with his commentary regarding Tasmania and the way that he's been going about it with his PR battle with the AFL? It seems like he's trying to take on everybody at the moment. And the problem is for poor old Tony is that his own backyard is a complete utter shambles at the moment. The coaches are fighting. The players play with no soul. No one wants to stay there, and they're not competitive.
It's a good backhander from you. He almost reminded me of like a New South Wales shock jock, Tony Cochran. There, sitting there in his white coat. I thought you shouldn't wear white after Labor Day. He was fantastic. It was captivating TV on the couch last night. I think in some ways he's probably right that the AFL right now can't afford Sydney, can't afford Tasmania because they're not a growth market. So how do you make it, how do you make that 19th team? How do you make, you know, potentially an extra 11 games? How do you make that a growth market? For me, it's Thursday night football. It's, you know, the extra 11 home games for them, meaning that you actually allow the fixture to have one team coming off a Friday night, one team coming off a bye. They play on a Thursday night fixture. I think you sell that to Channel 10, you sell that to Amazon, you sell it to Facebook. That would actually get you $20 million a year. Yeah. As you said, though, you want to have a fight when you've got a position of strength. And Gold Coast right now are ravaged, you know, not only himself, but also Mark Evans today, basically coming out of just pleading for help. We need help from the AFL. It almost shows the total desperation up there. In that they've brought in a good coach, they've revamped their support structures, they've got a list of kids who want to be there right now but are wavering, and yet they're playing this putrid football. I really fear for the future of the Gold Coast because it's a bit like lockdown. If we have one more lockdown, then the government's getting voted out. If Gold Coast has one more lockdown, then I think they'll just have players who are saying, I'm just refusing to go to the Gold Coast when I get drafted there, and blokes will do their 2 years and then they'll bugger off home.
0416 90 50 52 to join our conversation. So with that argument regarding the Tasmanian football side having a side in the AFL,
yep,
there's no growth there. But it's a heart and soul football community that it is a state that would love their own football side. They will be able to sustain it because they'll have a government behind them. So
yeah.
Why can't they have a side if they can say we're ready to go?
Yeah, they just, you know what it is? It's just government spends so much and wastes so much money on so many different enterprises. If the Tasmanian government, and I believe they are prepared to say, we're just going to stump up $40 million for Tasmanian pride, for the development of the grassroots, for development of sport, for culture and health and well-being, it may even be that they can get a private syndicator in there who's going to put an indoor stadium in. That's the one Eddie Maguire's pushing really hard right now. You know, he's saying, why wouldn't you spend $400 million and have that stadium there so you can play a Friday night game, you know, that's not in the wilds of Tasmania? I think the really strong expectation, you know, having sat with him and also Nick Rewald on over the weekend, is that Hobart would very much be the base. You know, there's that Macquarie place there, right near Salamanca, right near the wharves. It would be absolutely extraordinary, but someone's got to pay for it. So it's either the AFL selling off a Thursday night, or it's just that Tasmanian government saying, a bit like a Renault, you want it to cost you 20, it's going to cost you 40. I think probably with all the money that goes into that state, it's probably worth it. It's just that someone's got to stump up the cash.
Do you think Tasmania in 10 years' time will have their own AFL site?
I think they will, because I think that if it's not Gillon McLachlan, it'll be Brendan Gale. A lot of talk around about Travis Old and different people who could be the CEO. I mean, from the last 10 years of what we've seen, Brendan Gale is by so far,
yep,
the best candidate from a financial point of view, from a performance point of view, from a cultural point of view and an ethical point of view for the AFL CEO, whenever it is that Gillon McLachlan moves on. I think this is Gil's last chance to say, I got the AFLW up, I saved the game, and I set a pathway at least for Tasmanian football. Now, if it's not him, it's going to be the next bloke. Because what's the next challenge?
Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? Because you have, say, that you need to get into Southeast Queensland to expand the game.
Yep.
But then you have a look at, say, rugby league. they are strong in New South Wales. They're strong in Queensland. We have the Melbourne Storm. Many say alongside, say, the Perth Wildcats are the greatest sporting organisation when it comes to sustained success. And the games, well, the Melbourne Storm have a following, but you can't say rugby league has really been able to break into an AFL market because of off the back of the success of the Melbourne Storm.
Yeah.
So when do you come to the realisation, or do you just continue to fight, say, well, we can still try and break through into the South East Queensland market, and we don't care how much it costs us?
Yeah, and I suppose the AFL would be saying to themselves, you know what, we've got extraordinary junior talent pathways there, we've got heaps of kids that are signing up to AusGeek. Is the $20 million we spend a year on Gold Coast spent better than the $14 million a year we spend on St Kilda? I would think probably absolutely. So when's the AFL, as Jeff Kennett has said, going to put some serious heat on the underperforming financially Victorian clubs? St Kilda, you know, they've got $13 million of debt. They're bailed out, you know, I think $4 or $5 million a year more than any other Victorian club. They continue to underperform apart from a final last year. The debt isn't going down. So, yeah, so look, I think the feeling is there that that the AFL will just continue to sustain 18 clubs, and they'll get a lovely report from Colin Carter, and they'll say, look, you know, it's a great report, but it hasn't got a compulsive cost-benefit analysis for Tasmania. So if it's not Gill, it's going to be Benny, and, you know, and what's the point of Gillen staying around for three or four more years if he's not going to get going on that truly national competition?
I think it proved there on Sunday when Essendon and Hawthorn played, if you have a good side there, yeah, that they will fill the stadium. They'll come and watch.
Well, they fill it with 30,000 because, you know, having had a quick chat to Colin Carter a few times over the years, he's saying, you don't want 60,000 there because you actually need reserve seats. So you need a boutique stadium, which was the reason Geelong was able to make $1 million.
Yep.
Would you get 30,000 there 8 times a year at a Hobart Stadium, and then of course you play probably 3 of those 11 home games in Tassie, in Launceston?
I think if you would.
Yeah, and
on a consistent basis you would, because it's the Tassie sporting community, the community would get behind it. And if you've got, say, Collingwood and Richmond and Essendon turning up there once a year or once every second year, they will turn up.
Yeah, and I think too, if you've got a home team which is getting good quality sides down there and you've got 30,000, you can make massive coin. Whereas right now, without COVID, you'd say you're never playing an Essendon Hawthorn game down there because they make so much money at the MCG. So if you can get the right economy of scale and you can get the right financials going, you know, they make enough cash. Yes, they're always going to have to be sustained by the Tasmanian government, but yeah, I don't think there's anyone out there that really truly believes they don't need it, that they don't deserve it. It's just a matter of actually finding a way to make it work from a financial standpoint.
We'll go through our heroes, hoax and headlines as the segment continues on here on RSN Central with Gareth Hall and Johnny Ralph. Just with the Carlton Football Club, they had Cripps and Wiedemann speak to the media early yesterday morning. Did we learn anything new? I don't think we did with the Blues, and we continue to go around and around in circles regarding the questioning and also their responses.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly what the leaders should do. I think it was fantastic that Carlton put them up. So here's my headline. Kane Little predicts coach's downfall. Now, Kane Little said in February, I'll just read you this quote. Yep. Do you immediately jump from 18th to 16th to 11th to a premiership? Well, history will tell you that it doesn't often happen. Are we aspiring to do that? Absolutely we are. Anyone who wants to tie me up and mix my words that we're not aspiring to win premierships won't be successful, because that's exactly what we're trying to do. I certainly agree the period for development is over. Now, Paul Roos is really smart. He goes, you can't smack a coach if he finishes 10th when you thought the side had finished 10th. This is a club that built for this period from 2021 to 2023. This wasn't a development year. This wasn't a let's try and work out if we can play defence year. This was a we must play finals and we must shoot for a premiership.
So Brendan Bolton started this rebuild, failed, and then David Teague was appointed as the caretaker coach.
Yep.
He had a run of 6 or 7 games where they looked like they were a finals organisation, a finals outfit.
No doubt.
And then it's all gone wrong.
Yeah.
Failed last year. He won't be playing finals this year.
Yep.
They haven't been able to set up defensively. They've got players that have gone backwards with their development instead of forward. So they're basically a little bit like St Kilda at the moment, where they're fighting amongst each other.
Yep.
Their culture's basically been thrown out the window and they're buggered.
Yeah.
Unless you make changes.
Spot on. And again, it's so easy to keep your coach and bring in others around him. But what happened when Mark Thompson did it with a review and what happened with Damien Hardwick is they had showed they could be the elite side. Now, you know, in the flux after, you know, after taking over from Brendan Bolton, you got a quick fix. You know, they were reasonable last year, but David Teague has never really shown that he can be an elite coach. And so that's why I think unless things change, you know, he's going to get tipped. But
with Bomber Thompson and with
Damien Hardwick. Yep.
In their back pockets, they had Gary Ablett Jr.
Yeah.
And they had a host of all Australian superstars that weren't living up to their abilities.
Well, Patrick Cripps is not injured anymore.
But Patrick Cripps isn't a Dustin Martin or a Gary Ablett Jr.
Well, yeah, I mean, can he win you're talking football? About two of the best players that have ever played the game.
That's the reason why the six... Well, the Cats were probably a little bit different to Richmond, but those two players helped them win a couple of premierships.
Yep.
Well, before Junior left, they won another premiership after that. But did they have a better side, I'm saying, a better squad in their... to their disposal, those two coaches?
Well, potentially, they clearly had those two superstars, but they also had methodology. And I think that's the thing with David Teague. You know, the players are absolutely confused right now. You know, they're trying to execute a defensive methodology. They look paralysed by analysis right now. You know, I would think that that for them to take David Teague into 2022 without him winning four or five games, without that defence clicking, I think that would be an absolute leap of faith. You know, knowing what you do about Luke Sayers, about Kane Little, you know, I would think that a change is extremely likely. And again, I'll put the proposition to you. I put it to the boys this morning. If he was out of contract, would they be extending him?
No, not at the moment.
Yeah. So I think you just need to say,
Is the truth in the rumours regarding the relationship between coach and players, or is that just a story that always gets rolled out when a side's struggling?
Well, I mean, you look at blokes like Lockie O'Brien, blokes like Sam Petrescu-Seaton, they're going to be saying the coach is good because they can't get a game. I think right now that there's a lot of uncertainty about whether he's any good from players. I don't think there's outright animosity. You know, when you talk to player managers, they're sort of like, well, you know, that they're not sure. They're certainly not condemning him.
0416 90 50 52 to join our conversation. Basically, the Tasmanian government will pay for the team. These SMSs coming through, joining our conversation here on the Tuesday Hacks. Gold Coast get $30 million a year from the AFL and an absolute disgrace. Nick them off, and the AFL should swallow your pride and get a bloody team in Tassie with that money saved. That's from H from Shepherd.
You reckon it's worth an extra $20 million a year to the Tasmanian government, you know, to push their tourism, to push Spirit of Tasmania, to push places like Strawn and, you know, the Fraser-Nay Peninsula? Of course it is.
What's the obsession with creating a 19th club? There's not enough top-end talent for 18. It will dilute what's already there. Relocate the Gold Coast or North. Don't just wave a wand and make something up. That's from Josh. Do you think we have enough talent?
Of course we do. You look at the VFL. You look at the preseason and the summer drafts and the mid-season drafts. Now, clearly, there's only a handful of Dusty Martins out there, but there are absolutely, if you want to invest in these guys with quality coaches, there are so many kids with talent and they just need to get into an elite system to actually flourish.
Hello, Tuesday Hack, bracket Ralphie. Brendan Gale is the next AFL CEO. If it was done on merit, he's a lay-down messiah. However, if jealousy and various other internal factors are weighed in, Brendan has no chance. It's from Greg from Mitchell.
It's not from Mick Warner, is it? From the Herald Sun. No, look, Travis Olds has done an exceptional job last year. Of course, he was the Gold Coast CEO. He does broadcasting and he also has done the fixture along with Marcus King. He's a really good executive. But I just think Brendan Gale just smacks leadership and smacks vision, which is what you need as a CEO. You don't just need to be a bean counter. You actually need to say, where does the league need to get to in the next 15 years?
If the Tassie Premier doesn't get the right outcome, bye-bye Hawthorn and the Roos, and everything will be put into the Jack Jumpers in the NBL.
Yeah,
do you reckon the Tassie government will have enough and say, well, if you don't want to support us, the A-League does, the NBL definitely does, they've already got a side in, maybe the Super League netball competition, and we'll put all of our funds and efforts into promoting our national teams in other sports.
Yeah, so look at North Melbourne. So North Melbourne play Gold Coast on Saturday afternoon. What kind of crowd do you think they'll get down there? Will it be 1,200? Will it be 1,400? You know, and so there'd be absolutely no reason why they would invest in North Melbourne. Now, potentially Hawthorn, you know, because Hawthorn is a sexier side, but let's face it, they're in for a five-year rebuild. I could very much imagine that just out of a fit of rage that Tasmania would just say, sorry, boys, we're stumping up. You consider for a couple of years and you see North Melbourne go broke and you see Hawthorn struggle. Come back to us if you actually want that infrastructure and that money. Otherwise, we're walking away.
So with the situation back to Carlton, what will happen at the end of the year then? Do you think Teg keeps his job if the review says he needs a better support team?
And this is what I think. I think he should have to apply for his job again, reapply for his job.
Yep.
There's no way that they can judge him against other coaches out there unless they can hear from those other coaches. Now, that might be really tough to a coaching contract. But if I was Brad Lloyd and I was Kane Little, I'd be saying, you give us your vision for next year. But we also want to hear the vision from James Hurd. We also want to hear the vision from Justin Lepich. You can, you know, it's all very well to put a plan in place and Justin can say, this is the way I want to play. Justin's been the defensive coach for a team that won a premiership. So you know, I know that would bruise the ego of David Teague. Go to the market. Go and find out who it is that wants to coach you, because that's the only way you can actually do it.
My hero is the New Zealand cricket side. I think now their game will be washed out for this Test Grand Final over there in England. And the fourth day was washed out. Now, India are the higher-ranked side, so they're probably, I would imagine, I don't know this to be fact, but they will probably be crowned the number one side now in the world after
that.
What a
joke that is.
But geez, New Zealand have done well. They bowled India out cheaply. They're 2 for 100-odd, so if something drastically goes wrong, which it can if the balls swing around in England, but they would probably take first innings points. They're a side with 3 million... in their country, they've done a wonderful job with their sporting teams.
And they do it the right way too. Yeah. Look, you know, I know that, let's not get pious and say that they've got great sportsmanship and no one else does, but they don't go in for the nonsense with the sledging and all the ball tampering and all the ball dust that we've done ourselves. How short-sighted are we as a sporting world? So you looked at the forecast. It was a five-day test with a reserve day. Let's face it, it's a confected game. It's a game purely for entertainment as the World Championship. Why wouldn't we have just pushed it back 3 days?
Yeah.
I mean, is anyone going anywhere? You know, I assume that across the world, in India, they've paid millions and millions for this to be, for this to occur. You know, we've already seen situations where, you know, we can't turn the lights on in these test matches because you give me a reason, there is no reason. You know, I understand that there is integrity of sport and these kind of things, but would anyone have complained if we had started that game 2 days later? Right now, apparently tomorrow's forecast for the fifth day is good. They'll use the reserve day. We won't get an outcome. We're an entertainment industry as much as a sporting industry.
That trophy will be split, they tell me.
So, is that right?
Yeah.
So there'll be nothing. No, we'll come away with absolutely no resolution.
100%. They should play the old-fashioned test where they continue to play until there's a result.
The timeless test. I love it.
Yeah, if it goes for 15 days, 15 years. My hoax is that Willie won't play in 2021. If Willie Rioli is back and ready to go, I think he'll be playing definitely.
So if Liam Ryan and Jack Petrocelli and Jamie Cripps are absolutely flying, can you get him into that team? I mean, you can easily make the case that it's no, and you can easily make the case that he hasn't played for 2 years.
If he's kicking 6 goals in the waffle and turning it on like Willie...
Game in the waffle before the finals start. So you know, it's easy to make the case he won't. And yet, in his last game of football, in elimination final, he's had 15 and he's kicked one. The week before against Hawthorn, he's kicked 3. I'm not saying he was the best small forward in the comp, but he was getting there. You know, and West Coast are a team who I think we all believe are in the premiership window. Are they the premiership favourite? No. I think if they build and go deep into a final series, and he's dominating in match simulation, you know, I think there's every chance they play him.
Yeah, I think, because he's got that X factor and he can actually win you games, and especially in such a tight competition. I think the West Coast have nearly got the squad when Yo's up and about playing some pretty good football. But if Willie can come back to somewhere near his best alongside an in-form Liam Ryan, and they complement those key big forwards like a Kennedy and also Jack Darling.
Yeah.
And even Oscar Allen goes forward.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a side that is dangerous.
So you probably watch them as much as I have. Have we actually seen Elliot Yeo, Luke Shuey, Tim Kelly, Andrew Gaff, Nick Natanui as a 5? And I'm sure I'm leaving some out, the Duggins and the Sheeds. Have we seen them at their best together?
I don't think so.
Like, Yeo was battling groin injuries last year. Kelly had a slow start. Nick Nat was still good last year. You throw those guys in, and Rioli and Liam Ryan at their best together, with Oscar Allen as the third key forward there. I mean, it's something else, isn't it?
They're one of those sides that might peak at just the right time, where they've had the injuries, they've been able to hang on, survive win a couple of matches. That Carlton match on the road at the SCG could be important.
Yep.
And have enough wins to, okay, we're ready to go. We've got our players back and see if we can make a splash come September. There's 10 new cases in Sydney, and experts are telling the New South Wales government that they need to go into a lockdown. So what will that mean for the AFL?
I think what it would mean would be that Sydney would go into that 60 hours of hard quarantine. So you and your partner and your kids are locked in, and then obviously you can still fly into Adelaide for that, for a Saturday afternoon game. So I think the 7 cases still that have emerged in the last, let's call it 12 hours, and it'll be in tomorrow's cases as well. So I think that game still goes ahead. But I mean, you know, New South Wales was the state everyone could go into.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden they're going to be locked down for, let's call it, you know, at least 5 days and maybe more.
My headline, have you done your hoax?
My hoax is, well, it's Ben Simmons.
Yeah. He's my headline, Ben Simmons out of the Olympics, but I've been beaten to that, the punch there.
I saw fear in his eyes. I mean, that was the very definition of a sporting choke. You know, you think about Greg Norman. I don't see a choke as failing. I see it as a purely mental thing. So Norman at the Masters, you know, 6-up, made terrible decisions. You know, stroke went from, you know, something as pure as we've ever seen to just this horrific stroke. I mean, you just see Ben grabs the ball and thinks, how do I get rid of this ball as quickly as possible? I know some people will say that, you know, if he's going to concentrate on his stroke, and certainly Doc Rivers suggested that, you know, they're not going to trade him and he's going to improve his stroke. So they start the new season on October 19. So that's 3 days short of four months. I think he can go to the Olympics and he can still work on his free throw. If he had to totally revolutionise his entire stroke and everything about it,
I think he might, looking at it.
I just think he just needs to look. He's never going to be a three ball shooter. He's never going to have an 18-foot mid range jumper. He just needs to go from 60% free throw shooting in the regular season to 70% in the regular season, and he needs to shoot it consistently.
But he's cooked if he can't dunk it. When there's an open dunk and he decides to pass it.
But so why did he do that? Because his free throw is so horrific, and so when you know that if you get to the stripe, you're stuffed.
He's worried that someone would have fouled him when he dunked it, and he would have had to go to the line. Yep.
So, look, you know, it may well be that we need to do something a little bit innovative and say, righto, who's the bloke that's going to help you with your stroke correction? He might need to come with you to Tokyo, but I'm sure that, you know, that Australia would allow that to happen. I'm sure Brian Gorgian would say, mate, whatever you need to do. So I just think you get back on the horse.
G'day, Gareth and Ralphie. I hear the Bucks is going to Carlton next year. Bucks is going to the Gold Coast and Carlton.
No, Bucks isn't going to the Gold Coast. Oh, I can't. Bucks is going to Channel 7 with his good mate Lewis Martin and his good mate Hamish McLaughlin. And he's going to have a great year. And he's going to spend time with his kids. And by the end of 2022, we'll go, how the heck is this like not coaching? And he'll get a pay rise.
What did you just back to Ben Simmons? Is another text coming through? I hope Ben Simmons gets traded to the Warriors, the Golden State Warriors, and a decent coach who can help him with his shooting. But so their best player and their coach basically not supporting him straight after that the match there, and their emotions are running high.
Yep.
But and then you've got the supporters there at Philly who are renowned for just burning down their very own, that just hate him at the moment, burning his shirt. How can he stay there?
Because it's a redemption tale. And because if he was able to stay there with Joel Embiid, it'd be one of the great tales in sport.
But can he play with Embiid after Embiid threw him under the bus there in that media conference?
Well, you know what? I think normally you'd say no. But does anyone begrudge Joel Embiid saying exactly what he did? I mean, Joel Embiid, as he said in his Instagram post, he played, both of those final series with a torn meniscus, you know, your cartilage hanging loose. The things he was able to do were just extraordinary. And yet all he needed was a bloke who's able to go to the, you know, who's able to drive and dish to him, and he couldn't even do that. And so,
as Joel, if you're Joel, forget the Australian biased here. If you're Joel, you don't really want, Ben's not going to help you win a championship in the form that he's in, getting $30 million a year.
Yeah.
So Joel's going to say, well, I'm delivering. I can win you a championship, but like LeBron, I need help.
Yeah, and if you're Joel Embiid, you're saying, mate, yes, he's due $40 million in 2024. The way that blokes change their jobs in that league, who wouldn't want to play with Joel Embiid? So, I mean, yeah, I think I could absolutely understand it. Normally, I'd say, mate,
the problem is, who wants to play with Ben in that type of form?
No, but I mean, Joel will be thinking, if we can get Ben out, you know, we save massive cap space, and we'll go and get a free agent, and we'll start again, and we'll be much better players for a championship.
But can they get Ben out with the money that he's on and the form that he's in.
Yeah, and look, you know, others would be much better placed than me, but you know, when you're paying top dollar for Steph, you've got Klay Thompson coming back from that Achilles. You know, they probably can't afford him either. I mean, so I still think the best place is for Ben is to be at Philly, but confront your issues, go and feel better playing in the Olympics, fix your foul your shooting. And come back and give us one of the great seasons we've ever seen.
Did the AFL get it right with the Joel Selwood situation?
No, they totally stuffed it up.
Yeah,
you know, and I've made that point really clear. And you know what the AFL says? Oh, well, just it was line ball. We thought it was more of a pushing motion. I mean, when I looked at it, when he stood on Taylor Giray's leg, you can see that as an accident. When he tried to knock at the ball and scraped his eyes, you can see that as an accident. I don't think anyone in football believes that punch to the head of Bailey Dale was an accident. You give him a week, you give Toby a week, and it changes behaviour. To see that Toby Green just laughed at the AFL, said, oh, just cop the fine and move on. I'd like to say I'll change my behaviour, but I won't. That's exactly why the system doesn't work.
Well, you only give Taylor Walker a week or 2 weeks for his actions there against St Kilda the week before.
And Ben King, you know, with his incident with, I think it was Ryan from Fremantle. Every one of those actions, if they had been suspended, would see players eradicate them. And right now, Taylor Walker's thinking to himself, how good is this? I'm on $675,000 a year and they fine me $1,000 for elbowing a bloke in the head.
Do they actually pay for that? Those fines to players, or is it the club?
No, they do. Yeah, I think some of those internal fines can sometimes come out of consolidated revenue. But actually, it's interesting. Yeah, some players over the years have said that when those incidents are like a rough conduct, you know, a football accident, that the players will pay for them. But I think the striking charges always come from the players' coffers.
Who would you rather beat, Carlton or St Kilda at the moment?
Do I have to choose?
Yeah.
Who do I have to beat? I still think St Kilda. Yeah, I still think that.
I don't know about St Kilda. I think they're in a situation where that Caroline Wilson story. I know we're going to get to Hillsville.
Yeah.
But someone leaked that story, so there would have been players that talked to Seb, and Tim. So I think there's a problem there.
Yeah, Caro got away with it because, as usual, Caro changes the conversation. You talk whatever you want about Seb Ross, but to think that she felt like Tim Memory couldn't come back for the birth of his kid, and to think that she felt like.
Patty, but someone gave that information.
No, that's all. Yeah, absolutely.
That
happens in football clubs.
Yeah.
None of it's deliberate leaking to hurt the player. It's just people talk and people gossip.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you very much. There's